Get your Bibles out. I encouraged you last week to understand that this is a season. You know, you got to preach the season that you're in. And so I'm going to preach this morning, and you're going to get something out of it, because over the next number of weeks, I said last week, what are you believing for? What is it that whenever you get up in the morning and you start your week, or you're going to start a new week tomorrow, and the question I have for you is the question that I had last week: what are you believing for this morning? What is it? What are you believing for in your life? Are you just going to replay the same scenes that you saw last week and the week before? Are you believing and actually believing that God can step in? And even when I use that expression, I use it advisedly: God step in, God step down, come off the mountain. God has already said that he has done all the stepping in that he's going to do. He did it in a perfect work of Jesus on the cross. And we don't call down God and the Holy Spirit like some dove from above, because God is here all of the time. And it's really, do you remember that dove from above? It was Vic and Bob, for those of you who don't know the reference. And, you know, like, woo-hoo. And not that I ever watched it. Somebody told me about that. And I said last week, you know, I want to have your heart convinced. I want to have your heart convinced. It says in Ephesians 3 that when you're rooted and grounded in the love of God, and when you're rooted and grounded in the goodness of God, you will see the fullness of God. And there's something about that which says we need to keep reminding ourselves about the nature of God and who he is, but we also need to read the times right that we're living in. And this is not some kind of crazy end of the world eschatology stuff where I start to say on the 23rd of August at 3:30, Jesus is coming back to Belfast. Wouldn't that be so? What a way to kill your ministry, huh? Oh, I had a word from the Lord. And then on the 24th of August, it's that sort of, well, he got lost. You know, and it's all sort of embarrassing. But the truth of it is, when you look at the Word, there are two things I'm going to talk about this morning over this series called Multiply. And I'm going to be looking at the life of Benjamin for a few weeks. And it's phenomenal. It's really exciting. Benjamin is full of grace. I have a son called Ben, and I'm going to explain that a little bit later on, because Ben means the son of the right hand, and as we all know from the Word, the right hand is the hand of favor. Isn't that right? And I want to look at this, because I believe it's really important for you, and I'm going to keep asking the question, what are you believing for? I said last week from 2 Peter 1 that grace and peace, the whole heart of God is to see the grace of God, the favor of God, unmerited and undeserved. And the favor of God, the peace of God, the shalom, the completeness, the wholeness of God in every way, multiplied. Everyone remember what the word multiplied means? Filled to what? Oh, I feel so excited right now. Filled to capacity, all right? God's not a half-fill-you-up God. God is a God who fills to capacity. So the actual word plethuno means that God just doesn't come into your life and give you a little. It's not a little. His heart is maximum. And people go, oh dear, for goodness sake, here he goes again. That old health and wealth stuff. You know, if your gospel leaves you sick, go and look at Jesus. Because every time he saw sickness, he healed it. Tell me, someone lead me to somewhere once where Jesus met a child and said, I love you, have cancer in Jesus' name. He never did it, and don't ever, you can't twist the Bible to say that. He's a God of fullness and grace and multiplication of goodness in your life. Let's not be churlish about that or embarrassed about that, because it's important, and I'm going to say it this morning, that we understand that that is part of the, I believe that is part of the prophetic time that we're living in right now. So what I said last week, this is the recover last week, is the grace and the peace of God, the fullness of God and the wholeness of God only comes through Jesus and your experience of him. It doesn't come any other way. So if you're looking to find it in work, in qualifications, in ministry, it doesn't happen. It comes through Christ. So what I also have been encouraged in this is this. Many of us spend far too much time wondering what God will do in our lives. We ask the question, God, will you do this? God, will you do that? And my question is always this, well, who do you believe God to be? I'm going to keep hammering these truths over the next few weeks, because I keep coming back, what are you believing for? What is it that you are believing for? Because my heart and the heart of this church and the leadership of this church is to see grace and peace multiplied in your life. Now let me show you why through the life of Benjamin, because I believe that this is, as Pastor Prince calls it, a Benjamin generation, and there's something really, really profound about that. It's really important to read your times well. You know, I'm not a farmer. I'm in fact not a gardener at all. I'm an atrocious gardener. If anyone comes to my house, you will see that. And really, really bad at gardening. But I do understand this. There's a time to sow seed and a time to expect a harvest. And if you sow seeds in a time when you're meant to be harvesting, you're going to be disappointed, aren't you, Chris? You're a country boy, you would know that. This is not the season from Ballyclare, obviously a country boy. In the natural, people know that there is a time to sow and a time of harvest. And what that essentially tells us is this, is that you cannot expect to see something in a time that is not right. Do you understand? And so many people come and they have these truths about the Lord and they go, how can I expect, is it okay for me to expect grace and peace to be multiplied in my life? Is this the time for it? Is this the season that we live in? And I want to say to you this morning, right now, yes, it is. See, there are two complementary truths, and they're not exclusive. The nature of God never changes. He's always good. He's always loving. He's always faithful. He's always kind. And he never changes. And the Bible tells us that there are times. So what is our season right now? I believe right now that we, and I'm going to say, this church is a prophetic statement. Now, whenever I say prophetic statement, I get the heebie-jeebies, all right? Because I grew up in charismania. And I call myself a recovering charismatic, all right? Because what we think is charismatic or prophetic is a bunch of Christians giving words to one another while Jesus culture plays in the background, all right? I love Jesus culture. God, we've got to take that out of the tape because for people, but I love that. But that's not the heart of prophecy. Do you understand me? I believe that the times are prophetic and the calling is prophetic, and we need to understand that it is so much more for the church than simply bunches of Christians gathering to give each other words. Do you hear me? Our calling is so much bigger than that. And I want you to understand that in the life of Benjamin, you will see incredible grace. And so when you start to think about that and the heart of God for your own life, there's two challenges that I have for you. Number one, understand that the nature of God will never change. He's always good. He's always loving. He's always faithful. Will always do exactly what he said he will do. It's a bit like a spiritual run sale, okay? Always consistent in that way. I can't believe I just called Jesus run sale. But this has been, should we just start again? William, what do you think? Okay, yeah. If we start. But there's also times that we live in. And so whatever your notion of a prophetic statement is, let me tell you that right now, I believe that through the church, and this week I had some incredible conversations with people in big, big ministries around this world who are preaching grace. And what we all agree, and what we all agree with each other is this. I spoke to Marcel, I spoke to Joshua, I spoke to all these people this week. And we believe, and I absolutely believe it, that the truths that God is showing right now, it's a prophetic statement, but it's not for the walls of the church alone. It's so that the people of God, immersed in the grace and love of God, show that grace and love to the world. That's prophecy. That's the heart of God revealed. That's revealing Jesus to people who need him. But does that make sense? But the good thing is you get blessed to the max as well. You see, all these truths have been around. I said last week, there is a truth, John 3:16, isn't that right? Particularly in Northern Ireland. Gee whiz, we have had this on gable walls, at football matches, at cricket matches. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life or everlasting life. We all know it. That is a truth, isn't it? And I said that God so loves you. He so loves you. He's not a God of a little bit of love. He's a God of so loving, so gracious, so kind. And that's a truth that has been declared in this country and beyond. But I believe the times that we're living in now is where God is revealing more of those truths and giving more revelation and giving more insight. So that's why I said last week about John 17 in the high priestly prayer, because it hasn't been preached. It hasn't been taught. More importantly, it hasn't been lived and demonstrated. Whereas where Jesus said, and this is eternal life. You know, the truth has been declared for years. God so loves the world that he gave his son. Get saved, and that's you done. Did that rhyme? That did. That's amazing. Oh, no, I'm in a prophetic flow right now. And so God so loved. And then I believe, actually, that the Spirit, that what the Spirit is saying today is, yes, and here is more. Let me expand upon that truth, because truth too is this. This is eternal life, that you may experience the fullness of God, not as some future kind of when we die, we get to glory. But right now, the Lord says to you, grace and peace be multiplied in your life. You see how the Spirit is revealing these truths? He's revealing these truths to the church, and he's revealing them around the world right now. And it's so exciting because we get to be part of it. Exchange Church gets to be part of it. There's those churches that are are preaching faithfully God's messages. And I believe that, but I believe that the prophetic right now is saying, but there's so much more. This is revealing the good, good Father to the world. Okay, because for so long we've marked out the world, we've marked out God by saying he condemns, he judges, and he's on your back. And actually what's marking us out right now is he is a God of grace and a good Father. Amen. So that's the times that we live in. So whenever we talk about eternal life, it's not future per se, the word anos in Greek. What it means is it refers to the quality of life that you get right now. So think about it, right now. The most prophetic thing and prophetic statement that this world needs is a man or a woman saved by grace, grounded in the love of God, and seeing the favor and the blessing and the peace of God multiplied in their life to full capacity. That is a demonstration of the work of Jesus. And I believe that's why the Spirit is revealing these truths. Not so that we just all have a bless up, but actually what happens is, as we experience the fullness and the love of God, the world sees and people see that he is a good Father. Jesus revealed as a good Father. That's what he actually said way back in Exodus 9, verse 6. It says, for this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, us, so that my name may be proclaimed in all of the earth. So what marks us out? Listen to me. I come back again. What are you believing for and what are you expecting? What are you wanting to see in your life? This morning when you got up and you were coming to church, what were you believing for from the Lord? Tomorrow when you go to work or you've got your kids, what are you expecting the Lord to do? Do you have an expectation that this time that you live in is ordained by the Spirit of God to show the grace and the love of God to the world? To be a generation that has never been seen before? Not the generation simply of God so loves and you have to wait, but this is the generation that says God so loves and let us show you what that is. This is it, eternal life filled to capacity with the grace and the peace of God. No? Like, seriously, see if that doesn't get you excited. Honestly, go, I don't know, be Buddhist, be something. But grace and peace multiplied? Man, I think it's flipping awesome. So what marks it out, not just here, but across the whole earth? I'm going to say this. I'm going to show you from the life of Benjamin. The generation that God is raising up now, and you are part of it. When I say a generation, that's kind of Christian talk, isn't it? We are the generation and all that. I grew up, everybody under 25, stand up. So if you're 26, God's forgotten you. And you're fat. And you remember have those moments going, oh, what about me, Lord? You know, it's like, I see this generation. Oh, shut up. Okay. The generation of grace is from the very youngest to the very oldest. God hasn't passed anyone by, folks. Whenever you receive his grace, you never retire. You never stop being in a place where you can receive the fullness of God. And God will use the youngest to the oldest, all right? And let me tell you this. Actually, the young ones need you, old folks, to grasp grace and peace being multiplied in your life. Because you bring not just your years of experience, but you bring wisdom and you bring the hearts of fathers and mothers to those who need it, all right? So I love the young people, and I love the, yes, we're the generation, but the generation is all of us, all right? Amen? So if you're 40-something this morning, that would be me. I wake up and I go, yes, thank you, God. Never again will I stand in the meeting and go, oh, flipping Nora. I walked out of so many of those meetings going, so what now then, Lord? What do I do now? Did I just give up, you know? Shut up. And so, totally lost my place. Didn't mean to say that, but it just came out. And so, this is what I want to say to you this morning. It's the heart of your Father to see grace and peace multiplied in your life. But more than that, what's happening is you're actually, listen to me, it's not just about the grace and peace being multiplied in your life, but I believe why this message is so key, the message in the gospel of grace is so key, is that you're actually aligning with what the Spirit of God is doing supernaturally around the world today. Because in the last days, God says, it will be a generation of grace and a generation of grace that will usher back the King of Kings. That's the times that we're living in. It's no more prophetic than that. So whenever I feel, sometimes disheartened and even a little bit discouraged, because believe it or not, that sometimes happens. when you pastor a church. Not often, but now and again. And what happens is, I've been reminding myself this week, actually, Lord, this is about your heart for me, but actually this is about me aligning my life with the supernatural purpose of God and what he's doing today around the world. And we get to be part of it. How cool is that? How cool is that? Get a big vision for what we're part of here, because it's absolutely incredible. So I was out on Friday having lunch with a friend, and we ended up talking about Joseph. And it was amazing. And I didn't say to him at the time, but because I was thinking, I'm going to be preaching a little bit around the story of Joseph over these next few weeks, but not Joseph itself. It's about Benjamin and the son of Jacob. And everyone knows the story of Joseph. Gets thrown in a multicolored, you know, the all that sort of stuff, a whole new world. Is that Joseph? Oh, flipping Nora. And I don't even know my musicals. And whatever Joseph, what was the Joseph one? And toes the curtain, that one. All right, so we all know who we're talking about anyway. Flipping heck. I'm having a bad morning this morning. And so we know that I close my eyes. That's the story if you don't know, but there's a lot more to the story around that. And I want you to get your Bibles open right now, and we're going to turn to, if you open at Genesis around 43, I'm going to pull out some truths for you, because what we see here, whenever we were talking on Friday, I was reminding myself, and we were talking about how Joseph was an incredibly prosperous man because the Lord was with him. He ends up in prison for years, but he ends up going from the prison to the palace because the Lord spoke such favor over his life. He brought him from rejection, from the prison to the palace, to a place of honor, blessing, and influence. And it's incredible. And you see the favor of God working in his life to bless him, but also to save his family and a whole nation. It's incredible. But what we also see is Jacob's youngest son is a guy called Benjamin. And Joseph and Benjamin are going to have this incredible interplay. But what we see in the life of Benjamin, one of the sons, is that Benjamin prophetically represents the last generation. Okay? And we're going to see that later on. Benjamin represents the last generation. He's the youngest. And whenever he's Joseph's youngest brother, and whenever he comes to see Joseph for the first time, whenever Joseph is in the palace and he has the power of life and death over these guys, you would expect that you see a family going towards the person of authority, and they would expect punishment and judgment. In fact, they might have thought they may even been killed, but Joseph does something incredible. When he looks at Benjamin, he says, "God be gracious to you, my son." Conan means God's going to show you favor. Now, what I'm going to unpack over these next few weeks is that you will see the grace and the favor of God in the life of Benjamin, and he represents us as the church in the end times. So you've got to read the times prophetically and go, this is not just about you getting blessed until the day you die. Right now, as we sit here around the world, hundreds of thousands and millions of brothers and sisters and believers are in the same stream hearing about the gospel of grace and bringing back the truth that eternal life starts now, that people can be saved, healed, and delivered, and in grace and peace multiplied in their lives right now. Now, you know that numbers are really important. I'm going to show you just some things from the life of Benjamin where you can see his grace and favor operating, and then go, well, how does that work in my life? Well, you know that I've said, those of you who have heard me preach many times know that numbers are important. Number 5, remember I said, is the number of grace. Thank you very much. If those of you don't understand that, every time you see 5 in the Bible, you're going to see a manifestation of the grace of God. So let me give you an example. Israel brought 5 offerings. So it talks about the forgiveness of God and the grace of God. In Luke 15:20, the Good Father, we see that. Can anyone remember what they are? He sees, he runs, has compassion, he runs. What's the next one? Embraces and kisses. So in Luke 15:20, what you see is these 5 things manifested to keep relationship. So it's a manifestation of relationship. So you see how God does that. I mean, David took 5 smooth stones out of the river. And then we see a manifestation of God's favor in David's life because he overcomes not just the giant, but the whole nation is overcome. Why? Because he had 5 smooth stones. You see it everywhere. When you look at Jesus, he takes 5 loaves. And again, you're just about to see the grace of God multiplied. He takes 5 loaves and he feeds how many people? 5,000 with 5 loaves. And in the life of Benjamin, you see this all over. Benjamin represents end time favor and blessing from God. And he represents you today in the church. This is your time and this is your season. Whenever all the brothers sit down to eat, Benjamin got five times more. He got five sets of clothes, changes of clothes given to him whenever he was on his journey. So it wasn't, listen to me, it wasn't the strongest, it wasn't the oldest, it wasn't the most qualified, it wasn't the most handsome, or it wasn't anything to do with that. The favor of God was on Benjamin as the youngest in the whole clan, in the whole family. So we see that in Benjamin, the last son, that he experiences blessing and favor. Now, even the name Benjamin is incredible. Whenever he was born, he was given the name Ben-Oni, which means the son of sorrows. And then Jacob intervenes and he changes his name to Benjamin, which means son of the right hand or the son of favor. Now, let me tell you, I understand that exactly right. There's a sense of it for all of us in the life of Benjamin. When he's first, Rachel's mum calls him sorrow, Ben-Oni, a man of sorrow. There's an intervention from his father, and he becomes the son of the right hand, the son of favor. And there's a sense in Benjamin in all of us. We're all born into sorrow. We're all born into that, but we too are changed to become sons of favor and sons of the right hand. You know, yesterday I had a moment. I was in here with my own son, and he's called Ben, all right? And so this makes perfect sense to me. Because of those of you who don't know our story, we were medically infertile and couldn't have children. And that was a big deal. And I will never stop. You know, people, oh, you're still talking about that? Seriously? Bite me. You know, whenever God moves in your life and you have an incredible healing, I'll talk about it till the day that I die. You know why? Because that's the goodness of God. And if he can do it in my life, he can do it in yours. All right? And so it's amazing to me. And so whenever I looked at our son, and we called him Benjamin because it meant the son of the right hand, the son of favor. And from a place of sorrow and from a place of upset, the Lord intervened in my life. And now when I look at him, I saw the favor of God in our lives. And sometimes even when I want to kill him, all right? Because yesterday was one of those days, all right? We had a great day as a family. The Waltons, it was not, all right? Just throwing that out there, all right? Wee bit tense, but it all ended up okay, didn't it, love? I think. And so, just for those of you who are sitting there going, oh, my family, you know, seriously, if you hadn't been a fly on the wall here yesterday, the Kardashians wouldn't have been in it. And so, but when I looked at him, the Lord said to me, you know, in your life you can see, he's a prophetic statement to this generation. He's the son of favor. And he's the favor of God in my life and in Penny's life. And whenever I look at him, I don't see Ben-Oni, a man of sorrow. I see the son of the right hand. Son of my right hand and his right hand, but he's the favor of God in my life. So I love the story of Benjamin. I love the story of seeing him and all that the Lord does in him, because he just screams grace everywhere he goes. Everything he does, his life just screams grace and favor. And that is the time that we live in now. That's why you can expect, that's why I'm challenging you, what are you believing for? What is it that you're believing for? Because it's not, you're not trying to get something out of God that he doesn't want to give. Because number one, his nature is always to be good to you, always to be loving. But also on top of that, this is the time where the Spirit of God is saying to the world and to the church, get these truths and be rooted and grounded in them, because I'm raising you up prophetically to show the nations that I'm a good father. And when the nations see grace and peace multiplied in your life, whenever they see healing multiplied in your life, whenever they see wholeness multiplied in your life, whenever they see all of that kingdom life in you, they will come to Jesus. Amen? And so that's what we see here in Benjamin. Isaiah 53 said that Jesus was a man of sorrows. He was crucified and he died for us so that we are now here today. So what you're going to see in Benjamin's life is what starts off as sorrow becomes a place of favor and blessing. And just like Jesus in Isaiah 53, where he's a man of sorrows, you see that in Ephesians 2, 6, 7. He says, now, though he has raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? Can I just paraphrase that for you? What it means is that from a place of sorrow, Jesus took that sorrow on him. And today, spiritually speaking, you are seated with Christ at the place of favor. Amen. Hey, listen, that doesn't put a smile on your pig, nothing will. Honestly, right now, spiritually speaking, you are seated at the right hand with Jesus in the place of favor. That's the times that we live in. So I ask you again, if that is true, what are you believing for? What is it that you want to see? What is it that you expect to see from Jesus? I think some of us need to shake ourselves and go, you know what? I've been believing for far too little. I've been settling for things in my life which have not grace and peace multiplied to me. I've been settling for so little whenever when the Lord says, this is who I am, but this is the time. This is the time. You know, some of us go, well, it's not the time. I don't think. You know, the Lord said, no, prophetically, this is the time right now. You, church, I'm raising you up now, not in the future, now. So what are you believing for? I love that, because then I can go like a child to God and say, God, I want to see things in my family. I want to see my body completely strong and whole. I want to see people released. You know, anyone see wee Josh Martin this week on the ski slopes in somewhere snowy? Josh Martin was a kid of 14 or 13 who was diagnosed with cancer, pretty much terminal, in Bangor, Elim. And we, along with tens of thousands of other churches and people around the world, prayed for him. And this week, he's on the slopes, people, you know, skiing with mum and dad with a smile that would flip and melt the hardest of hearts. And I'm going, that is grace and peace multiplied. Now, how many more people today do we want to see? How many more Josh Martins? How many more? So what are you believing for? This is the time. The Spirit is saying that God is being revealed in his grace and in his love and in his goodness, not marking us out with judgment, but marking us out with favor like Benjamin for such a time right now. And the two things are coming together, the nature of God revealed and the times that we live in, where God's saying this is what the Spirit is doing. So what, you know, so I think about that and I think, well, if that's what the Spirit's doing, am I going to sit there and go, oh, I don't really know, just excited. That excited about Jesus right now. Can you imagine? You know, sucking lemons. Grace and favor, grace and peace multiplied, I know. Just anyway, let me leave that with you. What are you expecting to see? Because if you listen to the Spirit of the Lord, he's asking you to have big faith and big expectation. Amen. Amen. It's your time for it. It is your time for it. Now, you might say, look, this is not my experience. It's not my experience. And this has been my constant battle, actually. Not with the world. The world I find pretty easy to deal with. You know, people who don't know Jesus, they're actually pretty straightforward. They don't know Jesus. They need to know him. And they may be, you know, I didn't argue with any idiots this week on the internet. I'm healed. Isn't that good? You can say, thank you, Jesus. You healed our pastor. And it didn't argue with anyone, and it didn't argue with any of that religious spirit that's going on around the place that's trying to destroy the gospel of grace and put us back under a bondage of self-effort. That's been my biggest struggle, actually, in this church, is that in the times where the Spirit of God is revealing the truths about the grace and the favor of God, is that that's when the religious spirit that operates in this world today goes into overdrive. And we've got to be aware of that, because people will go, that's not my experience. You know, I want to say this. I said that, you know, we cannot have a narrow view of what the kingdom means. The Lord said this to me this week, because in the church today, you'll have people saying, this is kingdom. If it doesn't look like this, this is not the kingdom. Or do you understand what I mean by that? So whatever the stream of the church is, it'll be, well, the kingdom manifest looks like this. If you're not doing this, therefore you're not seeing the kingdom. And that's why I sometimes go, well, I'm not experiencing the grace and favor of God because it doesn't look like this. And what I want to say is, whatever your stream is or whatever place you're in, let me tell you what grace and peace looks like this. It looks like more love, more grace, more wholeness, more abundance, more provision. You get me? More completeness, more safety, more security, because that is what grace and peace multiply. And the more that comes, the less you're doing to earn it. In fact, when you stop trying to earn it, the more you will see. So people go, it's not my experience because I don't fall over in a meeting, all right? I've never fallen over in a meeting. I had someone knock in the back of my knees once, but I stuck the head in and he never did it again. You know what I mean? I've had that sort of, oh, you know, when they're praying for you, but they really need to give you the right hand of fellowship just to get you over. I've had all that. But what the Lord has said to me is, Andrew, no, read the times. Read the times. I want you to expect goodness and favor and grace multiplied, because that's the time that we're in. And so if you go, I've never experienced kingdom because it didn't look like this, then I want to release you from that this morning and go, actually, the kingdom, according to Jesus, is the grace and peace of God being multiplied in you and you raised up to show the world. That's true. That's the heart of true prophecy, revealing Jesus. Now, the second thing is this. You know, I want to say that if I don't come away with a higher view and expanded heart for Jesus, I don't think I've met the kingdom. Do you get me? That's kind of my thing. Whenever I walk away from a person or an encounter or an interaction, if my heart expands for Christ and his work, and my heart leaps for Christ and his work, not for people and their spirituality, then I think I've met kingdom today. You know, when you come to this church, I don't want you walking out of here going, he's a great preacher, because you won't say that anyway. But if you were to walk out of there, I want you walking out of here this morning with a heart expanded for Christ, a heart expanded for Jesus, a heart where you go, the coolest thing about this morning was, Jesus loves me, this I know. Yeah? That's grace and peace being multiplied. Where he becomes bigger, he becomes greater, he becomes the focus, he becomes elevated, he becomes the one who our hearts worship and get bigger for. He becomes the one who is free to operate and to minister in any way he chooses fit. Where we walk out of here going, what an incredible God we serve. His name is Jesus. That's grace and peace multiplied. And that's what we are living in today. And so the other thing about the story of Benjamin, I'm kind of setting this up for the last for the next few weeks, is, you know, there's trouble in the world as well. People go, Andrew, I get what you say about grace and favor, but my life looks different. So it might be that my experience has told me that unless it looks like this, then it's not kingdom. But the other thing is, my life doesn't add up. You know, the challenges that I have in my life means that this, you can preach all you want, because let's get real, you can preach all you want, Andrew, about God's nature, but until I see it, and you can preach about the times being a time of favor and blessing, but until I see it, I'm always going to struggle just that little bit. Isn't that right? And I get that. And in Isaiah 62 to 3, it says this, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But listen, the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Remember Exodus 9:6. "And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." What it means is this, is that the glory of Jesus seen in your life and through the church is always greater than the darkness. But what we must never do, and what you must never do this week, is renegotiate the character of God. Renegotiate the goodness of God to bring him down to the level of your experience. Don't ever do that, because that's not the time that we live in. People have done that. I've seen that. I've lived through that. And I honestly believe one of the good things about getting older is we now have experience of seeing different seasons in the church. And it's one of the only things, you have to live through them in order to see them. And one of the seasons I've definitely lived through is that the experience of people is always elevated above the character of God. And that's why I believe in this time the Lord is saying, no, elevate Jesus, because I'm revealing these truths about Jesus to be a good father. And I'm revealing him at this time, not just to you, but around the world. And this is a season where we do not dare renegotiate who God is, but instead we ask Jesus to reveal that himself in all of his fullness to us, so that we see his grace and peace multiplied to us. Yeah? We're not renegotiating God anymore. I lived for many years doing that. And it doesn't lead to anything. And so this week, the challenge for you is, when you don't see grace and peace multiplied just yet, or you want to see it more, don't pull back and go, oh, you know, that's all fine words. That's all that gospel for somebody else. But really push in and say, Lord, I am going to not earn, I cannot toil or labor for your favor or your grace. I simply need to put Jesus front and foremost in my heart and in my mind. That's what it says next in Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. So I want to encourage you that Benjamin is the story of unmerited favor and unmerited grace. You'll see next week, as we start to unpack the story of what happens to him and his big brother Joseph, you're going to see incredible favor. And I want to challenge you. Now, somebody will say, I'm just going to cover off a little bit of how we preach grace here to finish, because some people will say, you cannot take the Bible and do that, right? How do you take the story of Benjamin Are you just reading the Bible the way that you want to read it and manipulating it to make sure that you get your point out? Isn't that right? Well, let me tell you that that's not what's happening here, because the story of Benjamin and Joseph is filled with hidden pictures of Jesus and the truths of the new covenant. They're called types and they're called shadows. Let me give you an example. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians 4. I'm going to do this for 5 minutes. I want you to understand, because this is about building confidence in you. I'm teaching a little bit today to build confidence in you. This is how you can read the Bible, see the grace of God in the Bible, and then expect that you will see the same things. Okay? So we need to understand it. So Galatians 4, we're going to read from 21 to 31. It says, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written, Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free, Hagar and Sarah. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through the promise. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother, for it is written." Next slide. "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so also it is now. Now what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman." Now, whenever you read that, let me just tell you why we can look at the story of Benjamin and know that the Lord is saying, this is you for this time. Do you understand? What you see in the life of Benjamin is for you today in Belfast. Everyone go amen? So that there's no doubt that the word is what it says it is. So you can read it with great confidence and take the truths. Well, what we see here is Paul. Okay, there's two women mentioned here, and they represent two mountains, which represent two covenants. This is what Paul does in the Bible, and this is how we read the Bible with types and shadows. Now, Hagar is the old covenant of law and performance represented by Mount Sinai. That's where the law was given to people, and it represents bondage, and it represents slavery. Now, Sarah, the wife of Abraham on the other side, she represents the new covenant, and she represents grace. They have the promise of God over their lives, Abraham and Sarah. Those are the two mountains. So you have law, and you have grace. And it's represented here, and this is what Paul is trying to do. He's trying to go into the Old Testament and go, do you see what these actually mean? When you look at the story of Hagar and Sarah, you will see the whole truth of grace in there, because grace is concealed in the Old Testament and revealed in the New. And so what he says is, don't worry about going into the Old, so that, because actually there are types and shadows of grace in Jesus buried the whole way through every story in there. And when you understand it in the Spirit, that's what the Spirit is revealing today. He's looking at stories which have been, and I believe the truths have been hidden for generations upon generations, but right now the Spirit around the world is saying, can you see that it was always grace the whole way through? Yeah, do you get that? And that's what the Spirit is revealing. John 3:16 versus John 17, truths around forever, and now the Spirit is bringing them to life. And what is he revealing? Jesus as grace and favor. All right? And so what you see here is this. So Abraham and Sarah have the promise of God in their life, and they take, but they don't see it happening. So what they do is they offer Abraham the bondservant, Hagar, and he sleeps with her, and they have a son. Now, Hagar produces a son called Ishmael, all right? And in Galatians 4:23, we read this, he was born according to the flesh. So what you see is the law gives birth to that which is born of the flesh, and it represents human effort and strength. Now, what does Paul say about everything that you do out of your own strength and effort? Well, in Romans 8:8, he says this. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So what he's trying to say is this, is that when you look at the two covenants, Ishmael represents your own self-effort, but when you do something out of self-effort, you will never please God. He's not pleased by your effort or your performance. Everyone goes, thank God. I can stop trying to help him out. Phew. Brilliant. And that's what he's showing here in the story. Now, Sarah then, when the promise of God is released in her life, she gives birth to Isaac. They were barren, but the promise of God gave birth to their blessing. So the whole point is this, that if you want to inherit the promise of God, it will never be through self-effort and performance. It will only be through the blessing and the favor of God. Do you see that? And so then you read bits of the Bible that seem really complicated, and this is what Paul's doing in the book of Galatians. He's trying to give you confidence to go, no, listen, everything in that Old Testament, everything written there was for your benefit, and everything will point to Jesus. Everything will point to Jesus. Everything will point to his grace and to his favor. That's why in Exodus 32:28, and we compare it to Acts 2:41, when the law was given in Exodus 32, 3,000 people died that day. But whenever the Spirit came at Pentecost, 3,000 people were added. Okay? The law brings bondage and death, but the Spirit brings life. And so we read the Old Testament like that. That's the way that we do it. Paul sets a precedent here for types and shadows. So I'm building confidence for you. Don't think that over these next few weeks I'm going to be taking the bits of the Bible and just trying to make it fit. This is actually grace revealed, and the Spirit is saying to you today, in these times, listen to what I am saying, because I'm calling you out for this time in your life. Whenever I say this time, that doesn't mean we're the generation. It means tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning when you go to work. Tomorrow morning when you deal with your kids. Grace and peace multiplied. Why? Because that's the time that you're living in. You can have confidence. Get up tomorrow morning and say, today, Lord, your grace, your favor, your wholeness, your healing, your completeness, your prosperity, your blessing, in Jesus' name, because this is my time. Amen? And you don't need to worry about whether or not you're planting seeds in winter. You're in the right time right now to receive. Amen?